Let's pray. Yeah, Holy Spirit, thank you for the high calling you have on every person here. Thank you for the price you paid for us. Thank you that you didn't just die, you rose again, you offer us new life, and you call us onwards into communion with you and each other. Yeah, I just pray. There's so much that could be said. I just pray that you would speak your message through me today, just by your grace. Yeah. Amen. Cool. Alrighty. Might as well record. Okay. Cool. So this is an interesting one. Last time I did a talk, it was kind of, I felt a real sense of, okay, had a few bits sort of there and just leave it with God kind of thing and see what happens. And that came out pretty well, praise God. This time was, it's been a tough one. Mostly because Leviticus. And me being me, I wrestle with myself because I always have trouble like getting myself to focus, to study, to do those bits, as much as I'm interested in things. And in this case, I kind of was going to be like, all right, I'll go to bed. I'll leave it to God. I'll do some more in the morning and see where we're at. Tried to go to bed. And then, very unusually for me, couldn't go to sleep. And felt like God was saying, get up and do some more. And I'm like, okay, so I did. But then also being me, that's like, now I'm tunnel visioned because I have two modes. I have like, can't get myself to focus or can't get myself to not focus. So, you know, I went into that one. So I give this to God and see what happens. So we are doing I've been given the altar of peace or peace and fellowship. And I've titled it both up there because you will see translations either way. If you look in your Bible in like Leviticus 3, 1 to 5, if you have a look there, depending on your translation, it will probably say the peace offering or the fellowship offering. If you happen to be reading the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, it actually calls it the deliverance offering. There you go, I'm trying to remember the Greek word they use. It's the soterio, I think. like salvation offering, I guess you could almost call it. Anyway, there's a number of options there, okay? So yes, let's dive straight in because we want to get mainly to the application side. Here we go. So peace and fellowship. Why have I said peace and fellowship, and why does it get translated various ways? So the word, of course, here, it relates to, it's not the word shalom, but it's like shalem or something. And it relates to the word shalom, okay, which is the well-known word for peace. Not just peace, but like wholeness, complete, you know, wellness, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, as well as the absence of hostility, right? So that shalom concept in the New Testament translated with eirene, okay, which I'm guessing is where the name Irene comes from, but I haven't checked. Irene, that's in the Greek there. And these concepts, the reason it was so hard, this study, is because the words being used on any one occasion in any one part of the Bible are kind of slippery and morph a lot, okay? But I like this. I found a definition this is the Lexham Bible Dictionary there, and it says, peace, a pervasive concept in the Bible that most commonly relates to a relationship of love and loyalty with God and one another. And I'm like, that's pretty cool. Looked at a few different things. Anyway, that was good. So in the Old Testament, it carries the fundamental meaning of welfare, prosperity and wholeness, as well as the absence of hostility. In the New Testament, the concept of peace is consistent with the Old Testament as opposed to the Greco-Roman culture of the time. The New Testament draws more on the Old Testament, the Jewish sense, than it does on the Roman sense, or Greek sense, in that it refers to prosperity, which climaxes in the peace the Messiah brings. There you go. So just a definition of peace there, and I like that. That's good. So the peace offering, okay? This was not really not an atonement offering. By the way, I've got the slides there. I'm going to point at them a bit. They're mostly there because there's so much you can quote on this, okay, that I kind of want to give you a pack of resources. And so that's there. There's more that's not on the screen. In the notes section under each slide, there's more stuff, okay? So that's for community groups to go through and look at the passages and that kind of thing, all right? But I will read this. I found some quotes online. I was trying to find a nice kind of summary of this. So the peace offering or fellowship offering, this is one of the five offerings given at the start of Leviticus. It comes up in Leviticus 3, 1 to 5. It comes up in Leviticus 7, I think most of the chapter. It's a fairly short chapter. And it's sort of mentioned constantly throughout the Old Testament. It will be like, you know, whenever God's talking about where you're going to do sacrifices and stuff, it will say, you know, do your burnt offerings and your peace offerings. Your burnt offerings and your peace offerings. Yeah, over here they did burnt offerings and peace offerings. And it seems like it's a really interesting thing. It was common to do perhaps one of the other types of offerings and then a peace offering. Okay, or then a fellowship offering. It wasn't particularly an atonement offering. It wasn't a sort of make you right with God type thing. We know that. You know, in the others were atoning in the sense that God said, "This is how you're going to, you know, behave in faith, and I will forgive you." Not in the sense of the actual animal doing the atoning. It's Christ in the end. But the others were to be done for an atonement, and this one was less so. It was more like a response to being made one with God. It was more of a response to being reconciled with God. Yeah, this is a celebration, a rejoicing, an exploring, a sitting down and enjoying that closeness with God and with others. Okay, I'll just read this. It says, the third offering is shalem or peace offering, or shelemim, which I'm pretty sure is just the plural. This category first discussed in Leviticus 3 included thanksgiving offerings. Okay. Free will offerings, wave offerings, and the offering could be cattle, sheep, or a goat. There are three sets of instructions there, depending what animal you're using here. If it was a thanksgiving offering, it could also include a variety of breads. There we go, which would be the grain offering. You know, there you go. The purpose of the peace offering was to consecrate a meal between two or more parties before God and share that meal together in fellowship of peace and a commitment to each other's future prosperity. The portions unsuitable for eating were given to God, like burned up and things. Depending on the type of peace offering, the breast may have been given to the high priest, and the right thigh may have been given to the priest officiating the meal. The rest of the meal was to be eaten within one day by the fellowship of parties, and the leftovers were to be burnt after 2 days. This is an unusual thing because it's the only one of the five. There are various kinds of offerings in the Bible, but it's the only one of those five offerings where you, the person who brings the animal, also eat some of the meal. Okay, so this is, think of it as like a holy barbecue. Okay, you come along, we worship, we praise God. Yeah, the priest gets a portion to pay for their time and their work, and then you sit down with your friends and your family and your neighbors and maybe the Levite from your town, and you sit there and you have a sort of a meal. Yeah, it doesn't seem to have needed to have been done right there in the temple, but you know, it sort of could be nearby or on the way home, or anyway, those kind of things, maybe in Jerusalem. Anyway, so there you go. Ta-da. Have I got anything else there? That'll do for now, I think. Yes, I'll just read a little quote here. This is Deuteronomy 12 that said, basically, once they were in the land, this was slightly different. Leviticus and Deuteronomy have some slightly different nuances on this because of Leviticus is mainly focused on the tabernacle and wandering in the wilderness. There's a lot of that. Deuteronomy says, when you're in the land, it talks about God's allocating a special place, and don't just sacrifice stuff anywhere. You can cook, you can kill and eat whatever animals you want in your towns, but in terms of worship, you've got to come to Jerusalem. And it says, and this is Deuteronomy 12:12, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughters, your male servants and your female servants, and the Levite that is within your towns, since he has no portion or inheritance with you. It seems like they were supposed to make a thing of it. Okay, so that's all part of this offering. in the Old Testament. Okay, New Testament peace offering. The obvious thing here is communion. All right? So that's, you know, I've just put here unity, thanksgiving, commitment, recognizing that Jesus' life sustains us. Yeah? Think of like where Jesus says, I know that when Jesus says, you know, unless you eat my, you know, my blood, drink my blood and eat my flesh, you know, my life won't be in you. I know that you don't need to go crazy with that and say, aha, this is exactly and only communion. But clearly there's an aspect of we're taking in Jesus. Yeah, that commemorative, your life is what sustains me. Yeah, in the peace offering in the Old Testament, there was still a sacrifice. It may not have been like a sacrifice for atonement, but there's still kind of a recognition that there has something, someone else has paid the price for me to have this fellowship with God. Yeah. So communion like that, okay? That's a huge thing for us. Discerning the body in 1 Corinthians 11 is mentioned, okay? If anyone eats or drinks without discerning the body, he eats and drinks judgment to himself. Have you ever seen that? Now, this is 1 Corinthians 11. In 1 Corinthians, I think, 10 and 12, what is the body being talked about? The body of Christ, the analogy he's using, where all of us are members of the body. So, and actually in 1 Corinthians 11, the issue was that they were, people were doing communion. They were having a fellowship meal together, okay, which is great. But some people were turning up and eating all the food early. Some people were getting drunk. Some people weren't leaving enough food for other people, especially the poorer people who had to work longer hours and got there later. And it was generally, they were not recognizing the value of every other person in the room, yeah, before God. Anyway, so that's the one there, yeah? And I'll just read here, you know, 1 Corinthians 10, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. Yeah, this is meant to be a meal of unity. Yeah, even if it's just a little bit, it's a meal of unity. All right, cool. How important is peace with God? So this is where at this point, there are so many passages I cannot possibly read them all. And I'm not going to attempt to. It's kind of overwhelming. The New Testament kind of number of things. Now, if you kind of say, okay, peace with God, yeah, that's obviously important. And in a second, I'll get to the slide about peace among us. It's gigantic. So I'll quickly read a few bits. This I love, you know, 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 20. For the love of Christ also controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live, that's us now, might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, meaning just with human eyes, yeah? We don't just see people how they look on the outside, yeah? Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, or the, you know, serving to reconcile others. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now, does that sound like fellowship with God and with each other is central? Absolutely central, yeah? Wow. Yeah. We also have things like, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. We have, you know, Jesus, of course, even in Isaiah 53, it calls it the punishment that brought us peace was on him. And, of course, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Life, in terms of the Christian life is about knowing God and fellowship, yeah? Peace. Remember that peace doesn't just mean ceasefire, yeah? Peace does not mean ceasefire. Peace means complete wholeness, unity, reconciliation, togetherness, celebration, rejoicing, that kind of relationship with God, yeah? So, yeah. This is a big thing, all right? And there's plenty more. How important to God is peace and fellowship among us? And I kind of want to hit this one a bit more. There's a lot. It's pretty overwhelming. I didn't even on the notes, there's plenty of other passages you can put down and bring up, and it's huge. So, how important? Well, let me just have a look here. Jesus' final earthly message, you know, before he goes to the cross, this is what he tells the disciples. This is the same passage where he tells the disciples, there's so much I'd like to teach you, but you're not ready for it. But apparently he needed them to know this. Yeah. So John 13, and I'm just reading chapters and summarizing here, right? John chapter 13 through 17 is like Jesus' famous, you know, just after the Last Supper talk, yeah? John 13, Jesus washes his disciples' feet, commands them to love one another, and says this would be the thing that convinces the world that they were truly his disciples. Yeah? John 14, he says, my peace I give to you. Yeah? Think in Hebrew, my shalom, okay? Peace and unity. John 15, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, or no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And yeah, of course, he's about to do that for them. But notice how it starts with, I'm commanding you to love one another. And then he tells you what that looks like. Yeah, and he shows you. And then John 17, he prays, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. How is the world going to know that Jesus came from God? When we are one. Yeah, this is, how important is this? It's huge, it's gigantic, okay? It's huge, absolutely. It doesn't even say if you are one and you have all your doctrine correct or something. Like, this is bigger, you know what I mean? Like, yes, of course it's... Yeah, yeah. Well, it's helpful, you know, to... Of course, it's very unhelpful to not know the truth, right? And to be deceived by the enemy in various ways and so on. Yeah, that is unhealthy. But you can... The point is that health in this area is hugely impactful, okay? People aren't going to come in and say, hey, wow, that's what an amazing community. They have everything figured out. No, they're going to say, wow, what an amazing community. How is it that they love each other this much? I need to know where this comes from. Yeah, that's what Jesus is saying. That's what he's saying. And notice, of course, that as Paul says in the passage I read earlier, 2 Corinthians 5, like, we are ambassadors. We are supposed to go and tell people about that. We're not meant to be just a holy huddle, but there is supposed to be a certain amount of like, you know, huddle, yes, and I suppose holy, yeah? There's supposed to be, when we are together, and we should be together a lot, then there should be a sense that there is something amazing and powerful and peaceful here, yeah? I keep looking at Mike. Well done, you're right in front of me. Anyway, cool. So, very important, okay? And I will just actually say, is there anything else there? There's more passages on it. There's tons. Ephesians, Corinthians, Romans. Yep. Lots. So much. Okay, yeah, yeah. Oh, there we go. And Philippians. Yep, Philippians. That whole passage at the end where it mentions the peace of God which passes understanding, do you know the context of that? That starts with, I entreat Euodia and I entreat, what's her name, Syntyche or something? Anyway, two ladies to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, to help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. He starts off that bit, which then goes straight into the praying and that kind of thing, yeah? He starts off with, help each other to be in unity. a specific command about that, and go straight into rejoicing in the Lord, like the peace offering, yeah, and not being anxious and being at peace, and yeah, bang, straight in there. Cool. A warning. Okay. There we go. Have I got me thingies backwards? I've got me thingies backwards. 1 second. Beep, 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 beep. Ah, there we go. Yeah. So, Matthew 5, 13 to 14. Do you know the thing I'm referring to? You are the salt of the earth. What good is salt if it loses its saltiness? What good is unsalty salt? Okay. No good. Okay. So if we fail in this one area, you know, we're flavorless salt. People walk in like, oh, yeah, it's very nice and all, we have services and stuff, but like, yeah, this is huge. What good in and that's in terms of, you know, our probably how our interactions with each other are going to show through a lot for that one. But John 15, 3 to 6, you know, is about our fellowship with God. What good is a disconnected branch? And both of those have warnings about if we aren't that way, if we aren't authentically, you know, filled with God's Spirit, dedicated to fellowship with each other, dedicated to fellowship with God, which is a warning to me, to all of us, right? If we aren't that, both of those passages have warnings about being thrown out and trampled, or thrown out and burned, and generally thrown out, okay? This is huge, right? This is one of those huge things. So, alrighty. I'll read one passage of what to do, okay? And then I will hop onto some questions, which are kind of, we'll leave, you know, for discussion now, or community group, or those kind of things. So, this passage here, put on then, this is Colossians 3, 12 to 17. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Chosen, holy and beloved, yeah? Think of the price he's paid for us. That's why this is grounded. Put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. I wonder if he could have said shalom there. I don't know. But anyway, perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. What's that? Rule. Like, be top priority, I guess. I'm not sure. I'm just thinking out loud here. To which, indeed, you were called in one body. And be thankful. It's very direct, this passage, yeah? And then, of course, I just thought I'd let you see here, this is where it flows straight into the let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Notice the admonishing one another here rules out any sort of surface level, you know, peace through not bothering to get anywhere deeper. Yeah, it rules out that, like a deep peace this has to be. Okay, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Notice how closely, like, this fellowship, this peace is connected with thanks. Same in the Old Testament, that peace offering, fellowship offering, one of the options, one of the flavors of it was the offering of thanksgiving. So, wow. Whew. Okay. There we go. And we've heard some of this before, right? This is for us, you know, some of our message. What should we be doing, right? Acts 2, 42. One of the four things they devoted themselves to. Does anybody remember the others? Like, what? Prayer? They devoted themselves to prayer. They devoted themselves to breaking bread together. Yeah, it's yep. Yep, breaking of bread. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Breaking of bread, prayer, and the word, yeah? Now, technically, it says the apostles' teaching, but, you know, that will be the New Testament, so, yeah. And, of course, the apostles taught from the Old Testament, as you can see, in the same chapter of Acts. So, let's say the word, yeah? And fellowship. devoted themselves to fellowship. Okay? We have had this message before. Recently, this passage, okay? So, what should being devoted to fellowship look like in our lives? I actually think, as it goes, you know, we are on an upward track as a church on some of this, in terms of, like, I'm seeing a lot more, you know, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, those kind of things, you know? So, yeah. But, to be honest, I don't think we're doing devoted to fellowship yet. Yeah, we're not there yet, definitely. And remember how important this is. So here's some questions to think about. In Acts 2, they saw each other daily. Do I regularly meet other people here outside of an organized meeting who aren't family? I get to cheat on that one. Yeah. Do I regularly do that? I by the way, I know that for some people, I'd be one of them actually, you know, God cares about our other commitments as well, okay? He cares about our need to work and support our families, yeah? But beyond what we need to sustain ourselves, which does include preparing for the future, but beyond that, do we really need to work more, or can we just say that's enough now, you know, that kind of thing? And I know that some of us have households where, you know, not everyone in the household is coming here, or not everyone in the household's a believer, and that is going to make it difficult to just sort of really prioritize fellowship. But that doesn't let us off the hook. It just makes it harder. Okay, well, maybe some of us have part of our spiritual gifting is a greater availability, and we're able to help, you know, yeah, do that. I don't know. Anyway, they met in each other's houses. How often does that happen? When's the last time we went to each other's houses? Yeah. Shared their belongings. When did we last share with someone here? They broke bread together regularly. Not just in meetings, in each other's houses. Okay? If you're going to do a meal, keep it simple. Okay. I mean, if you want to do a fancy meal, you're very welcome to do a fancy meal. Or if you want to organize a fancy meal for the whole church, fantastic idea. You know, I always believe in whoever is the person who thinks it should happen, that's the person for the job, right? Because they are the one with the passion. But if you want to do that and you want to do it fancy, that's fine. But don't complain about how hard you have to work to make it fancy. Keep it simple, right? I mean, yeah. Soup is cheap, I've heard, you know. But anyway, you get the idea, yeah? So, broke bread together regularly, not just in organized meetings. With glad and generous hearts, do we love to hang out? Are we generous with our time? Do we zip straight off home as soon as, like, you know, as soon as David's finished today? Pew, gone, you know? Or are we caring? You know, are we gonna go at least go around and peace be with you to everybody? ask how they're doing. Yeah. They praised God inside and outside of organized meetings, it seems. And they contributed resources to enable some of these things to happen. Yeah? Wow. Are we there yet? I don't think we're quite there yet. Cool. And the other thing I'll mention is that confession and living honestly is also a fellowship builder. God promises that in 1 John. Yeah, if we confess our sins, and if we walk in the light as God is in the light, you know, then we have fellowship with one another. That's kind of a transparency and honesty and openness. Anyway, so there's a whole bunch of things we could be thinking about. All right, I'll leave it there for now. We can continue to chat though. That being the point. All right. Wow. I just want to say how privileged I am to be able to speak to such a chosen bunch of people, united in fellowship with God Almighty himself. Yeah. Such a called group of people. But some of us might think of ourselves as, oh, I'm only a little bit called, and other people, you know. I've always been told I was very called, so maybe I'm guilty of thinking I'm more called than other people. And I think the difference is likely to be a few percentage points, if anything. Yeah. We're all, the calling of all of us to know God, to fellowship with the King of the universe and with the sons of God, and I'm using sons deliberately, it applies to the women as well, okay? The sons of God, which is also a term used for his heavenly divine council, right? To be able to fellowship with the body of Christ on earth, the sons of God. Yeah? Wow. Thank you, Father. We pray. Oh, help us to discern your body on earth. Help us. Help us. Yeah, I'm sorry if I've ever looked down on anybody who's here or not paid attention. I'm sure I have. Yeah. I'm sorry if I've ever thought of myself as more called or better than anybody else. Lord, these are your people, the sheep of your pasture. I pray that you would have the answer to your prayer, that we would be one. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Wow.